Hello and welcome back to the Bitter End Podcast with me, Todd Jordan.
And me, Tom Denny.
Oh my goodness, guys, we are here to watch not just any Friday the 13th, but the final Friday.
Ooh, I wonder what's going to happen. Something heavy.
Well, I think that there's going to be at least three more Friday. This is the second time they've tried to call one of these final.
They go pretty ham on this in saying, like, how, like, this is the last film.
Yeah.
So it's going to... And I don't know. I've got some feelings about what may happen in this film as well. It just may be calling some serious BS on this.
Yeah, well, good golly, Miss Molly. You better believe that we had the final chapter way back in part four.
Yeah.
This is part nine. This is the final Friday. Let's just talk about the fact that we have just watched the trailer.
Yeah.
My goodness, the tone has done a real U-turn on us.
Yeah. Can I ask, what year did this come out?
Well, Tom, do you want to have a little guess? Jason Takes Manhattan, that film that really, really kind of... I don't know, it injected new blood into our veins in a way that Friday the 13th Part 7, The New Blood, could not.
Yeah.
That was 1989.
Yeah, I reckon this was probably 94 or something like that. 93.
So they've gone from only ever having two individual years off to having four bloody years off. Almost a whole decade has passed in movie terms.
And it looks different. It looks very 90s.
90s up the wazoo. Mm. It starts with... Well, let's talk about the trailer. Mm. It starts with music that is kind of like an Omen ripoff. You know, that... Mm. It's like that.
Yep, definitely.
You got the Eye of Sauron, which turns out to be Jason's eye. Mm. Zooms right out of the Eye of Sauron.
CGI hockey mask.
CGI hockey mask. That looks like it's made out of steel, like solid steel.
And it says, like, oh, they got evil wears many faces, but actually there's only one, and this is your last time to see it. Boom. CGI Jason Voorhees face explosions, and then just like a lot of cuts of just like people being like, Jason looking like a big hench dude, looking pretty moldy round the sides.
Yeah, we get to see him with his mask off in the trailer.
But do we? Because, I don't know, this is Jason Goes to Hell. And I remember back in 93, seeing those posters at cinema when I was too young to go and see this film, with like the flaming background, the mask, and this hell worm coming out of the mask. So I'm wondering whether or not there's going to be some other supernatural beast. And maybe that's something that we got a little glimpse of. And also, it looks like there might be a SWAT team trying to fight Jason as well.
Yeah, they're really, like, upping the stakes. It's not just about camp teens and their virginity anymore.
Yeah, and I'm fully up for people being like, you know what? I've had enough of this fucking prick who's drowned in a lake. If he doesn't know how to swim, you know, that's bad for him. But he just keeps on coming back and killing our teenagers. I've had enough. Get my gun, woman. I'm going after him. Fucking jumped up ice hockey goalie thinks he can fucking go around macheting everybody diagonally in the face. I'm not having it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that we will be having in this film, supposedly, is Jason going to hell, but they do not show you any of that shit in the trailer.
No, but that's what I thought, that maybe that demon face thing is, unless, like, Jason's gotten really weird.
Really weird.
Yeah.
It would not be his first time.
No, he looked pretty gloopy in the last film. I think also maybe the gap in this film, I think that the last film, there was, like, some sort of change in, like, well, I think the last film did... pretty badly, and is like widely regarded as like one of the worst.
I loved it.
I thought it was great. But I think there was also like maybe like I think Paramount didn't, or whoever it was, didn't have the rights to the film anymore. So maybe it just kind of floated around and no one really knew what to do with it. It was the end of the 80s. It's the beginning of a new time.
Well, I mean, it's quite telling that 13 whole years have passed since the original Friday the 13th. Mm. They make a point of telling you in this trailer that it is, they say, that Sean S. Cunningham, who brought you the original Friday, and they just call it Friday, is back to bring you the last. So he's got the producer credit on this, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
And it's funny you mentioned the poster, because I really distinctly, I was 10 when this film came out. And I really distinctly remember seeing it, sort of posters for it in the video shop, even at the cinema and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And thinking, oh, that's a film for bigger boys than me. That is a scary looking film.
I think that's my first memory of like of just like the idea of Friday the 13th and Jason was seeing that poster. So I'm interested to see the movie behind it.
Yeah. Well, Tom, before we do, I've got a couple of super quick questions for you. One, can you remember and possibly refresh in the mind of the listener where Jason ended up, where we left him at the end of the last film? Yeah.
Jason, in the end of the last film, melted in toxic waste in the sewers of New York City and then turned back into a real boy and was left lying in the bottom of a sewer. And we don't know if that was a dead little boy or not.
Mm.
So I'm interested to see how they write around this. I just assume that they will just completely ignore that.
Maybe he was dead, and this film is going to start in hell. Jason's in hell, and he's going to escape, punch his way out.
Maybe
that would make sense. That's what I would do.
I like the trailer did say that evil wears only one mask, and do you think at that time, like Michael Myers and like the Predator, just sat up and spat their coffee out, like
this is all political?
Yeah,
yeah,
outrage.
All right, Tom. One last little box to tick. IMDb score.
Yeah.
Jason Takes Manhattan was a 4.5. You have reflected that you think it was considered to be a bit of a stinker.
Not by you and me. By the morons out there in Hollywood.
Yeah. I hope that you listeners at home can make up your own minds about this.
Yeah.
About this misunderstood masterpiece.
5.5.
Well, Tom, you are off. You are off by quite a bit.
Oh, really?
I'm here to tell you that this is the lowest rated Friday the 13th. This is 4.3.
I thought we could only go up. I don't know why. I just thought that, like, it was just different things were going to happen. Okay.
4.3 compared to Takes Manhattan's 4.5 compared to A New Beginning, the worst film ever, was a 4.7.
Oh, wow. Well, let's literally go to hell, then.
Go to hell!
I'm just going to say that throughout the whole film. Go to hell, everybody!
All right, guys, we're going to hell. Bye!
Oh! Wow!
Please help.
What the fuck?
Okay, I am utterly exhausted, as I think you are as well. We are both been having some long days, and I don't know if that was the perfect film to watch in this very kind of bleary-eyed state, or the worst film. I yo-yoed back and forth in that between being utterly enthralled and elated, and then just wanting to punch the screen in frustration.
I need to go to bed, Tom. I need to go to bed, but I also...
You know what you can't do? You can't go to fucking bed, because we're going to talk about Jason Goes to Hell.
I just...
There's a lot to talk about.
Even if we did not have this podcast to record, I would not be able to sleep, because I feel... People are popping corn inside of my body. I can feel it pinging and popping around. I've got too much to say about this crazy critter of a film.
Yeah, as a Friday the 13th films goes, that is a fucking weird one. I did not expect that. They play fast and loose with what Friday the 13th is. And, like, it's kind of cool and kind of fucking awesome. And at the same time, it's just like, is this a Friday the 13th? What? So.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do, guys.
Let's break it down.
Why don't we give extra attention to the first 2 minutes of the film?
Yes.
And then less attention to the rest of it.
Right, okay. So, kicking off, we're back in fucking Crystal Lake again. What happened in the last film doesn't count, apparently. No reference is made to New York or, well, we'll get to this in a bit. Anyway, Crystal Lake, unknown girl, goes to a cabin. She gets in, she's in the cabin, she's like having a shower, she's changing light bulbs because light bulbs keep breaking. It's riffing kind of on the opening to part two, where just every moment you're just like, Jason's going to jump out. But you think like, how is Jason going to jump out? Because... he's supposedly like a little boy in the sewers of New York. You've got to introduce him in some way. Then, apropos of nothing, Jason just shows up
and starts chasing this girl. She's completely starkers.
Totally nude, straight out the shower.
Straight out the shower.
He's got a lumpy head and long hair now.
He's still wearing, you know, Jason, he's putting on weight. He's still wearing a size small mask, but really he's an L. So then she's being chased by Jason Voorhees straight out of the house. And you're just in the first, like, 2 or 3 minutes of the film. You're like, okay, fuck, okay. And she gets into the middle of this clearing in Crystal Lake.
Just in the woods.
And then she stops suddenly. And you're like, okay, why did you stop? You're being chased by this crazy man. And then suddenly, very much like in the last film, where Jason just suddenly pops out of nowhere completely silently, he's like, boo, hi, gonna kill you. and then loads of floodlights suddenly go clack, 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 all around Jason. She rolls out the way, and then a shit ton of, like, fucking...
it's a SWAT
team! Like a
SWAT team
come out, and they're like, fucking line them up, boys! Fire in the hole! Mortars! Smash, smash, smash!
Incoming!
Gatling gun! They blow Jason to utter shit. His head flies off in slow motion as his body explodes.
His heart bursts out of his chest, lands on the forest floor, still beating, and it is as black as Jason Voorhees' heart should be.
Yeah, it's still beating, and then suddenly all these fucking SWAT guys are like, yeah, we got fucking nailed them, boys!
High five! And all the time Jason's being shot, he's going, moo, moo, moo,
moo. And you're just like, what the actual fuck is going on? My mouth, like, hit the floor. I was just like, it was amazing. I was so happy to see it. Like, you know, like, in all these films have been kind of like, okay, so now we finally realize that maybe Jason Voorhees is a bad thing. So that just happens, and it just comes out of nowhere, and you've got, like, the captain of the SWAT team who just keeps on talking directly down the barrel of the camera, going, yeah, we got him, boys! Let's cart the body away! And they cart the body away to the morgue. The fact that they've taken Jason's body to the morgue on this occasion is kind of like, you know what you should have done, boys? If you were this concerned, maybe on any of the multiple times that Jason has come back from the dead and killed everybody, you should have dredged the fucking lake. He was down at the bottom of that fucking lake.
Tom.
Why didn't they bring him back? Why didn't they go like, oh, all these people have died, but somebody has just said, we've got no proof that this one surviving person didn't kill everybody. They said, oh, it was Jason Voorhees. Where is he? At the bottom of the lake. Should we look for him? No! We'll just fucking take it on face value that this person, well, they seem pretty sad. I can only assume they didn't kill everybody. What the actual fuck? So finally the authorities have got their shit together and they take Jason to the morgue to do a fucking autopsy. And the guy is just like, the guy actually says, okay, my medical opinion, this guy is deader than shit.
Tom, you're my friend.
Sorry.
Tom, you're my friend. Please, do we need to stop the podcast?
No. Sorry. I told you, I'm very tired at the moment. And this film has pushed me to the brink. So anyway, we're going to keep this rolling. So we're at the morgue. And we got this guy doing an autopsy on Jason. He's got got this white Caucasian male. He's got like 100 bullets in him. And all this. He's peeking through the bits of Jason's body. Jason's in pieces.
His head is off. And his head, meanwhile, by the way, it's gone all lumpy bumpy like a bad avocado. That's kind of what it looks like.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. You know when you cut up an avocado and you go, oh, fuck. Yeah. My avocado's gone to hell.
This one's no good. Speaking of gone to hell, sorry to derail the plot, always do.
Please do.
After this incredible incendiary outtake from The Expendables that was the opening scene of this, I was like, oh shit, son, you better believe we're going to hell now. Which is really what I wanted to see from this. The film's fucking called Jason Goes to Hell. I wanted to see Jason go to hell. His body is in literal pieces. We see his still beating black heart, but like we see it stop beating. I'm like, boom, it's on, son. Then there's this really, really long title sequence of the mortician like chopping up all the bits of Jason and going, I can't even count how many bullets are in this guy. Oh my God. But no, we do not see hell. What we see is the inside of the mortuary.
So, we're in the morgue. The mortician is doing his autopsy, and then he's just staring at the heart as it starts beating, and he's kind of like, this is weird. And so he picks it up, and he just goes, nom, 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 nom. He just starts eating Jason's heart, and then he suddenly just goes, bleh, and starts like doing this like weird demon belch.
Orange fire flies out of Jason's corpse through the room, like spins around the mortician, and like bursts into his heart, like some sort of soul explosion.
Yeah, and then Jason has now inhabited the mortician's body, and he leaves.
That's it.
He kills some people.
There's a fleeting moment when you see the mortician walk past a mirror, and in the mirror's reflection is Big Jace.
Yeah. So now it's kind of like, okay, so now Jason has possessed this dude's body. We then cut to American Case File.
American Case File.
Where they're talking about how like there's been like this sting operation to finally bring down Jason Voorhees. Everyone was so concerned about. But then, like, no, has this crazy serial killer gone missing? He's heading towards, there's a trail of bodies heading towards Crystal Lake. And then the guy in the news says, I've contacted this super bounty hunter.
Creighton Duke.
Yeah.
Creighton Duke.
Creighton Duke.
Who, when they're writing a screenplay, is like, oh, I need a first name for one of my main characters. I know. Creighton.
Yeah. I don't know many Creightons.
I've never met a I've never met a Creighton.
So anyway, Creighton Duke is this fucking batshit crazy bounty hunter. And he says like that he is the only person that knows how to kill Jason Voorhees, but he'll only do it for $500,000. Jason is now inhabiting people's bodies. This is the whole thing. And so to break it down in the simplest terms, Jason goes around killing people and diving into other bodies. This is like a possession film.
Yes.
Jason in an ice hockey mask happens very late. It's in the beginning and the end of the film. Everything else is Jason possessing dead bodies. And what he's trying to do, he's like trying to hunt after this woman. Oh, what's her name? Diana.
Diana.
And Jessica. Turns out Diana is Jason's sister.
Yep, heard it.
Jessica is Diana's daughter, and Jessica also has a daughter. Now, Creighton Duke goes to talk to Diana in Crystal Lake after he gets the contract to go and kill Jason, and he's like, you know why I'm here. You know what I need you for. Because apparently, Jason Voorhees can only be killed by another Voorhees. And Jason's trying to be reborn, apparently, in this film. Jason is possessing all these bodies to try and get to either Diana or Jessica or the daughter so he can possess them and live again.
That's the game.
And then he will be back proper, because apparently Jason can't stay in these other bodies because they rot and decompose, which makes me ask the question, what has Jason's body been doing in all of these other films? Rotting and decomposing.
To be fair, he's been getting progressively more rotten as the films have gone on, Tom.
Yeah, but so it's nothing new. Anyway, it's so many issues. I mean, there's bits of this film I fucking loved, but it's also just maddening, yeah. Utterly maddening.
I mean, what this film is to me, I mean, it is categorically a bad film. It is a bad film.
It's thoroughly enjoyable, though.
I had a really, really good time. It's like a regrettable night out, you know, where poor decisions are made.
Yeah.
You don't talk about it again afterwards.
But the thing is, it goes for it so hard. It goes for it with such conviction. And it doesn't hold back and just being like, nah, we're just going to do all of this shit. And you got to kind of love it for that, because it's so balls to the wall. With what it's doing with the franchise.
It's high crazy. Intensity.
Yeah, like the gore factor is definitely up in this.
Yep.
Like they're kind of like, nah, we're not going to shy. We're going to be really gnarly. And like people die. Like this is the film where people get introduced and killed like that.
Honestly, I've got this. This is the sound of my notebook that I always have with me.
Yeah.
And I write down every single kill that happens in every film.
Can't
describe
do it in this film,
so I can refer to them. I just had to give up at some point. There were so many just people. Well, it was a combination of people being killed just really quickly, where like Jason would just like pass them in a hall and just be like, and then they'd be gone.
Yeah.
And sometimes you wouldn't even see it happen, and you just have to assume Jason just walked past those people. They're probably dead. But then some of them would come back to life when they were possessed. But then sometimes he would possess people and then leave their bodies. And then they would die after he'd left their bodies. It was so confusing. I cannot begin to track all of the kills in this. I can only hope that I have been able to track
the best
some
ones.
Of the best
yeah.
ones.
So, yeah, it's really strange. And, okay, so I said to Todd while we were watching this, I'm in the middle of like a rule rage right now.
Rule rage me.
Because, so the last film, I got annoyed because Jason suddenly started popping up in front of people when he was meant to be behind them. And I found that annoying. So this whole thing that now Jason, there's this whole new mythology that they just suddenly throw at you like it has always been there. That Jason can only be reborn through another Voorhees. He can only be killed through another Voorhees. Creighton like says to Jessica, like, he's never going to stop chasing you, and you know it. And it's kind of like, but Jason has never been, like, this is the first time we've heard of any other living blood relatives to Jason.
Yeah.
He's usually just been happy, just kind of like knocking about, killing some people.
Yeah, he presumably knew he always had a sister.
Yeah, you would just assume so. And the thing is that Jason's sister gets killed really early in the... So she never gets to explain. You never get to hear anything about... So did she grow up with, like, Jason and Pamela? And like, you never got... Like, that could have been some really interesting stuff. They mention for the first time Elias Voorhees, Jason's dad, who's never been referenced in the series before. He was meant to have appeared in Jason Lives...
Which would have been amazing.
Yeah, but, like, he wasn't in there. And I've always thought that, you know, I've always thought, like, okay, like, the family angle, that's what the first two films are based on, is, like, this whole, like, the Voorhees family angle. And they kind of dig up that, but, like, there could have been so much more they could have done. And then, like, Jason goes around, like, trying to French kiss everybody to try and...
That's how the possessions work!
Yeah, he's got this, like, big, mouldy black tongue that comes out of everyone's mouth. And it's a bit like on... We were talking about the poster, this kind of, like, hellworm kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, it's, like, black and it's, like, a foot long and it goes...
Yeah, yeah. And he's, like, trying to give people, like, the most mucky yeah. kiss, you know. Oh, God. Yeah. Exactly. And then... Creighton,
fuck her up, Tom.
It's like if you've been at a nightclub and it's about like 2 a.m. and you see like some couple who've just copped off with each other and they are so drunk they're just like they're just like eating each other's gums off. That's what Jason does. He's a rubbish kisser. Anyway, Creighton says to Jessica, you got it. Only a Voorhees can kill Jason. And he gives her a knife, and then it just like magically becomes like this magic Jason killing
knife.
It
glows with that same orange fire
yeah,
that it flew into the
mortician.
And
it's got this like crazy evil bone handle. It's like something out of like Lord of the Rings or like, I don't know. Like
Yeah.
I want to say Willow because there was a baby in it. And he keeps on trying to, and Jason yeah. keeps on trying to possess the baby. Suddenly she's got this like giant Voorhees killing dagger. And then he possesses somebody else. There's so much possession going on. But it's Randy, the nice cop. There's a nice cop in this. I liked Randy. He's my favorite character. But he gets his head chopped off. And then the Jason worm kind of crawls out of his neck, and then he's like this weird like worm with arms that looks like something out of like Critters or Ghoulies or something. He's like crawling around, like, so suddenly Jason isn't even like a, it's not like a spirit being transferred from body to body, it's an actual weird physical
demon fetus.
Yeah, maggoty worm.
Demon fetus. And then he gets thrown in the basement of the Voorhees house. Oh, yeah, this happens in the Voorhees house.
Which we've never seen before.
You would have think they'd have pulled it down.
And they do this big camera reveal of it, like as if we're supposed to know, oh, that's the Voorhees house. But yeah, we've never fucking seen it before.
And then in the basement of the Voorhees house is Diana, Jason's dead sister's body. And the Jason worm crawls. He can only be reborn through a Voorhees, so he crawls into his dead sister up her skirt.
Yeah.
That happens in this film. And you know what then happens? You know what the magical consequence is of crawling up your sister's dead pants as a demon worm? You are reborn as Jason Voorhees in a fucking boiler suit.
Fully grown man.
Fully grown man with an ice hockey mask. And he just jumps out of the floor and he's like, hey guys, did you miss me? What the fuck is going on?
It's so bizarre. Like, I feel like the writer is trying to work out some serious personal
stuff.
Mate,
you work out your fucking emotional issues on your own time. Like, we're like fucking 8 films deep already.
9.
Now we're number 9, but you can't just start introducing all this crazy batshit mental lore and just be like, just like real out like, oh yeah, this is fine. This is like, everyone's totally fine with this.
It's flabbergasting.
Like, there's bits, like, the script can't even, it can't even keep up with its own continuity within the one film.
Yeah.
Let alone the series. There's a bit, like, where at the end, so was it Creighton keeps on saying, like, I'm the only one who can kill Jason, but I'm not going to tell you, I'll do it for half a mil. And then he suddenly goes, no, now it's about more than money. And it's kind of like, for what reason?
Why now?
Like,
why?
You have no emotional connection to anybody. Yeah. We've already established that 80 people have been killed by this guy. Why do you change your tone now? And he, at the end finale, he like jumps on Jason and goes, remember me? At which point Jason should turn around and go, no.
We've never met. Literally at no point in this film or any others have we ever shared any screen time. No, I don't know who you are.
I mean, it was still an enjoyable film. I know I must sound really fucked off with this film.
And I would really remember someone whose name was Creighton.
Yeah.
I haven't met a lot of other Creightons.
I keep on wanting to call him Crayola.
So,
okay, sorry, Todd, can you just take over for a minute?
Yeah.
I just need to catch my breath.
Tom, go lie down and have a little nap. While Tom has his nap, I'm just going to really, really quickly recount the finale, because I mentioned on the last podcast I really wanted to see a bit of the architecture of hell. That's what I was craving. I wanted to know the rules of hell. I wanted to maybe see a bit of what it looked like. Would it be like a stony dungeon? Would it be a fiery pit? Would there be lakes of lava? Would it be you know, one of these hell is other people situations where you're in this sort of horrible, unpleasant situation. Well, unfortunately, I was let down. We didn't get to see the actual inside of hell, but we did get to see Jason going to hell when his blood relative nobbles him with the knobbly knife and the orange fire happens. A huge spotlight from the heavens opens up over him. Big light comes out of the sky and you think, is he going to go to heaven? That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah,
is he going to go to heaven?
That's weird.
And then these big 6-foot-tall, stony, wobbly rubber hands come out of the earth. They're like as tall as him and they're made of foam rubber and they're just like,
big hands, we're just here.
And they just kind of like really slowly, they just pull him in. It's quite, I don't know. To me, that's good. It's good kind of like dream logic. It sounds silly, but it looks right, I think. The hands are obviously foam rubber, but the way they kind of pull him in and they kind of fumble him and there's loads of them.
It's cool. It's a bit like something like that scene in Labyrinth with all the, where the girl falls through this cave with all the hands that catch her and stuff like that. It's got that kind of,
yeah,
that kind of vibe. Yeah, it's cool.
And I liked that the good guy is, because he's like fighting with Jason at the time, he almost gets pulled into hell as well by the hands, but his girlfriend manages to like pull him out and save him.
Yeah. There's a good guy in this. His name's Steven. That's all I'm going
to
say about
him.
Yeah,
we don't really need to mention him. He's rubbish. But I didn't get to see inside of hell. I didn't get to see any of that architecture that I wanted. But like the Jason did, like, to give the filmmakers
credit.
He does
go to hell.
He does go to hell, much in the same way that in Manhattan he does.
He does eventually go to Manhattan.
He takes Manhattan, I suppose.
I can't believe that they got so much flack for not showing, like, Jason in Manhattan and Jason takes Manhattan and Jason goes to hell. They kind of, like, they literally show, no, we said he goes there. We didn't show you him being there.
Yeah.
You know? So here's a big thing. So the trailer made a big point out of saying this is the last film. The very final bit of the film is the ground that Jason's just been pulled into. The ice hockey mask is lying in the dirt.
Yeah, in the sand. There's like a dog kind of digs it up a little bit. And Tango the Wonder Dog, according to the credits.
Yeah, and God, Tango. And then Freddy Krueger's hand comes out of the fucking ground and pulls the mask in and laughs.
It's got the glove, it's got the stripy jumper.
Yeah, and so
it's Freddy Krueger, it's Nightmare on Elm Street, he's in hell too.
Although, is he in hell? Because he's like a dream man.
Well, he must be, otherwise how's he dragging him in?
Because the thing is, I was reading that apparently part 7 was originally intended to be Freddy versus Jason. They've been working on this for a fucking long time, and now they're going full like Marvel Cinematic Universe on us by like putting in like this like teaser for like, oh, Freddy's gonna fight Jason. It's like, but everything in the trailer was saying this is the no for realsies. Yeah. I know, no, guys, come back, come. Where are you going? Where are you going? No, this is definitely the last one. Come back.
There are a lot of strong references in this.
Yeah.
So in one point, when they go into the basement, there's a crate down there that says Antarctica Expedition Carpenter on it. Like Carpenter Station Antarctica Expedition. Which is obviously clearly a reference to John Carpenter's The Thing. Super sick reference, guys.
Yeah.
Like that. And then there's an even bigger, more overt reference.
Well, there's another reference to the it was near the Myers place.
Okay.
Near the Halloween reference. But the big one...
Oh, the big one.
Drop the bomb here. In the Voorhees house, it's the fucking Necronomicon from Evil Dead.
Yeah, with the book made of human skin with the face on it. The good guy, he goes in there and he's like, what's going on in the Voorhees place? It's all covered in dust. No one's been in there years. He finds the Necronomicon. He flicks through it. The implication for me was that maybe when Mrs. Voorhees was doing her murder sprees, she was maybe trying to see if she could bring her little boy back from the dead somehow, turn to the Necronomicon.
I'm wondering whether or not they were hoping to do this as a film at some, because they did do, there's a comic book, there's like Jason, Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Ah!
So there's a comic book of that. I wonder whether like they were really like marveling before their time and trying to set up all these like interconnecting universes. Let's just quickly, like, we should wrap this up shortly, but I think let's talk about some of the lines in this film.
Okay, there are some zingers.
There are some fucking weird lines in this fucking weird film.
Yeah, okay. So, hit me, Tom. Would you like to pick a bronze, silver, and gold?
I probably would.
Jason goes to hell, sassy line.
Sassy lines.
This is another quite swear-heavy movie.
Is quite a swear heavy movie. There is a classic like Crystal Lake bit where we've got a bunch of randy teens fucking by Crystal Lake. It's a dude, his girlfriend, and their mate, who's also a girl, who've gone camping. Super awkward camping trip because the couple are like, well, we're gonna go and fuck in this tent so you can just hang around outside and hear us through the wafer thin walls. They're about to have sex, and the dude says, think you're ready for Tony the Wonder Llama? What is Tony the Wonder Llama?
It's a strong line.
Is this like an American early 90s reference that we didn't pick up on because we were...
It just reveals character.
So we were like 10 and 11 or whatever at the time.
Just a little bit of light and shade, Tom.
We then get another nice slice from Creighton Duke. When he's being interviewed by the dude from American Case File, and the guy says, so I'm going to say a word, and I'm going to say something, I want you to tell me your response. And he says, Jason Voorhees. Creighton says something to the effect of, that makes me think of a little girl in a pink dress putting a hot dog in a hole in a donut. I know, like I say, there's like, oh, that's a weird bit. That is the weirdest line I think in any of these films we've ever had. That's kind of like, okay, weird sexual reference, Jason. Okay, Now, my favourite line, though.
Okay, the favourite line.
My gold line is after the mortician has eaten Jason's heart, and then he's become Jason. And then the other mortician guy comes in and he's like, hey, what's it like having Jason Voorhees on the table? You could say whatever you want to this guy. He's like, hey, fuck you, buddy. Fuck you, you fat fuck. Yeah, you sit and spin on it, yeah? And then he says to Jason's dead body, as Jason's soul in the body of his co-worker is looking on at him, he says, hey, man, I'd like to take a mango-sized shit on your mask.
So specific.
Yeah, it's the specificness. Like, what kind of fruit-sized shit would you like to take on this dude's mask?
Not bigger, not smaller.
Guava? Kiwi? No.
Keep on walking.
Mango.
Not banana?
Yeah. Anyway, those are my favourite lines in this fucking weird film. Todd.
Right.
Tell me some kills and then let's go home.
Okay, I'm gonna lay my kills on the line, because I think if I don't, you might actually have an embolism.
Stupid fucking film.
Okay, so my top three kills of Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday, with the bronze medal kill going to, I'm gonna say, the young waiter at the diner, who looks like a young meatloaf. He gets hold of a gun at one point. He runs out of the diner. He's like playing around with the gun, like acting like a tough guy, just pointing it around, like doing like action movie poses. And then Jason comes out of the shadows, grabs his hand and snaps it backwards at the wrist. Like sort of maybe...
Breaks the bone, I think.
Yeah, like a good 2 inches back from where the wrist is. The bone kind of shatters and it's over quite quick, but you see it in quite a lot of detail and it's a vivid image.
And then he throws his body into like the door of the diner.
Casts it asunder, much like the body of the mean girl from
seven,
from part seven, The New Blood. Yeah, it's quick, it's visceral, it's simple, but I liked it. It was a good use of that bone snapping body horror.
You don't get that in a lot of the previous films. They would like cut away.
Yeah,
so this film really goes at it with the if you like gory stuff,
now
watch a film.
We talked about how high the body count was in this one, but like, there's a lot of fairly uninteresting kills, but the ones that are interesting are these like body horror kills.
Yeah.
Weird things happening to the human body, things that aren't meant to happen.
Mm.
So the silver medal kill goes to that character's mum, who is called Joey B, who owns the diner, Joey B's diner. Joey B is this weird sort of Brooklyn accented, yeah, like sassy.
She don't take shit from nobody.
She don't take shit from nobody, and this is her diner, and she does things to.
What
like
the
her.
Fuck's that? There's a baby? Stick that baby in a Del Monte box in the back. I don't want to see that. That's literally what happens.
Yeah, that is how. No one else in the neighborhood talks like that. That's
not even her husband. Not his. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But she's a badass, and she's a goodie. Like, she's just no nonsense. And so when the body currently possessed by Jason, I believe it's Robert, the TV presenter, comes barging into the diner after the son has been killed, a bunch of them are kind of like really all clubbing together to fight off the Jason possessed guy. I'm just going to call him Jason for ease.
It's Jason.
It's just Jason. And what happens to her is she gets punched in the like in the chin, in the jaw, but there's this quite prolonged shot where it just shows her face with a smashed up chin.
Her face is collapsed in on itself,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, so it's almost as if like the whole lower jaw sort of shifted out of the joint upwards, and then her nose kind of goes inside out, and she just looks up at the camera. She doesn't make any noises. She's just like,
yeah,
that's making brutal. The noises that it looks like her face is making, because she is silent, but it's like, she goes a bit like Beaker from The Muppets.
Yes. Oh, yeah, spot on.
Yeah, that is rank, mate.
Yeah, you haven't seen that in any of these other films.
No, that is rank. And from the bone snapping to this sort of face crushing, You better not be eating your breakfast when you're watching this film.
Now, why would you? Gold?
Speaking of gold, the most disgusting, also slightly jaw-centered. There's one moment where we see a guy that's possessed by the demon baby of Jason after the demon baby leaves, which is this cop guy, one of many cops. When Jason unpossesses this guy, this whole thing about how Jason has to possess a blood relative because all of the others, they break down, they can't handle it. Mm. We see that breakdown on this guy.
Ooh.
He fucking melts. But he melts in the weirdest way. Picture this. Picture a white gym sock. You put a pair in it and you wait 2.5 months. And then you press that white gym sock as hard as you can against a mattress. And the way that that kind of the black pear gunk will kind of seep out of the cotton, spread across the mattress, and sort of form an adhesive when you then try to peel it away again.
Mm, you've got a sticky face.
That is this guy's face, mate. That is his face. That is what happens to him. And then when he lies on the floor and he tries to get back up again, his jawbone stays on the carpet.
Oh, that's the worst bit.
Yeah, and there's this kind of weird, like, translucent gook kind of stuff that, like, that gets left behind. It's like a spider web. It's like a mucus.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it is so gross.
It's very Hellraiser.
Yeah, it's super Hellraiser. Really, like, strong Clive Barker, like, body
yeah,
horror.
I like that they're
skinless.
You know, like, now 93, they're like, you know what we should reference now? Hellraiser.
Yeah, I hear the cool kids these days are into that.
I can't believe that this is, like, produced by the dude who made the original one. Well, they made it seem like the dude who made the original one's like, he's back to tell the story. It's like, basically, they said, he's back for a paycheck and not to read the script. Because it had nothing in common with the first film.
No.
You know, like...
Nine movies in, I'm happy for it to be different.
You know what, like... I know I've been very vitriolic about this, but I actually really did enjoy a lot of the film. And all this cool, the stuff they put in was like, that's cool. But it was also just baffling. I'm just so conflicted by it.
Yeah.
It's still, for my money, not the worst, you know, going on the IMDb ratings, not the worst film in the series.
It shouldn't have that low a score.
The thing is, though, like, it just kind of almost exists outside of the series. I think just because, you know, you've got, like, what, 3 or 4 years between them. It's in the 90s now. It's suddenly, this is, like, this is one of the reasons why, you know, like, it was interesting to look at this film series. It spanned such a long time. And then you get to this point where now it's so far removed from the original thing. It's just this whole other beast. And it's just, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then the next one, they're going to space.
So let's fucking talk about that then.
Right, so...
They're going to space. Jason X, they're going to space. It's the next film. It's coming up. We're doing it next week.
They just don't care anymore. They're just like, yeah, whatever, I don't care.
How are they bringing him back from hell, for a start?
Because they
can't ignore that like they ignored little boy in the bottom of the sewer in Manhattan.
You know what, dude?
They just ignored that for this one.
Dude, you
and
know
I'm
what,
gonna
though?
Give them a pass on that.
No, they're gonna ignore it again. They're gonna ignore it again. In this one, Jason just popped up and was like, hey, have you missed me? In the next one, they're not gonna write around it. They don't have time to write around things in a vaguely clever way. They're just gonna jump in and make the film they wanna make.
Is that what you think they're gonna do? You think they're gonna just ignore the fact that he's in hell?
Yeah, because he's in space now. It's kind of like, I don't know, they can just kind of do whatever. You know, like,
how do you think they're gonna get him into space at least?
I have no idea.
How would you do it if you were the scriptwriter?
How would I do it?
There's the posters made.
I would do it that I would just jump in like the last film did. Jason is back for no reason. There's another sting operation. This time they put him in a shuttle and they blast him into space and they like let some other like galaxy deal with it. Jason then orbits around in space for like 1,000 years. And then gets picked up on a spacecraft.
Oh, so you think it's going to be like super futuristic?
Yeah, it's going to be in the future, dude.
Oh, I was thinking it would be like kind of...
No, I think
shitty,
this is like
present day.
This is like Jason X 3000. I think this is going to be... I think it's going to be proper future. Like, yeah. He's going to have a laser machete.
That is dope.
And a jetpack.
Okay. Well, join us next time to find out if we get what we want from Jason in space. Thanks again for listening to the Bitter End podcast. I've been Todd Jordan.
I am something that's left of Tom Denny.
If you've been enjoying the series, please do go to iTunes and leave us a review. If you'd like to check us out on Facebook or Twitter, it is Bitter End Pod on both of those things. And we will catch your punk asses next time for Jason X.
Bye.
Bye.